something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to be my friend, you better go and get a pen.
Yeah, dude.
Maybe we can keep in touch.
I'll do it.
Like it did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago. And I wish you well.
Crush that.
Sign your band back.
You look like a different person entirely when you make your jaw have that shape.
Oh.
Did you know?
No.
It's true.
I can't see me.
Yeah, but maybe make faces in the mirror like I did when I was a little kid.
Okay. What did you do?
Just try to see what kind of faces I could make like Jim Carrey.
Early on. Early education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'd be like.
Did you laugh? Were you like, I'm good at this?
I was so good at it.
Did you ever get caught and people were like, Daniel, what the fuck are you doing?
I was like.
What's wrong with you?
Gelling my hair.
You look over. Gel? You look over, and the door's just open. Your mom's like, "What the fuck's wrong with you?
Where's my drink? Where's my drink?
What the fuck is wrong?" And it was never alcohol.
No,
you're like, here. It's just the glass of water. Give me that water.
Yeah,
I love hydration.
Yeah, no.
Scared. What the fuck's wrong with you?
She scared me in all the neighborhood.
Kids. And as soon as she walked off, you were like, you like tried to take the mask. That is so fun to picture.
You didn't. Were you gel or mousse?
You know, I think I in like 7th grade, I think I got a little
mousse.
I think it was mousse. I don't think I did gel. And then way too much. And I mean concrete.
Yes.
It became like concrete.
Yes.
I have some pictures of like school, like
spiky in the front.
I have a class photo, white turtleneck, sort of a Christmas sweater, but wasn't. And like. Beautifully moussed concrete hair for my youthful little face.
Yeah, me too. I have a couple of those.
Mm-hmm. Hey, if you're part of the Friday Watch crew, we're matching because one of our pen pal, your pen pal too, Corey Ritchie.
That's right.
Part of this little band.
LCD Sound System. They are newer and they are on the come up.
Yeah. Such an amazing... We will see them live together at some point.
Yeah.
And that's when I want to do Molly. And I know we talked about this, but I'm just reiterating.
All right.
It was such a great show. Present Company.
Yeah. Remember, because you didn't really see Nation of Language, you got there late or something?
I didn't know about that. Some would say it's the duty of one's friend to influence them towards good things.
Yeah.
And you failed.
I did. I said, Daniel, Nation of Language is opening that show.
You need to make that face in the mirror back at you.
I said, Daniel, Nation of Language is opening that show. And you said, I don't fucking care.
I didn't say that.
And you wrote, lose this number. And I was like, Daniel, that isn't, what are you saying?
I said, don't fucking care.
And I was like, I don't fucking care. Daniel, you're drunk again. And you're like, I like it.
We'll go to a show together?
Fine.
It was so nice of them to send us this. Corey,
this is amazing.
I know. You love yours?
I love it.
What does this mean down here?
Where? That's something. Where, isn't that wasn't the name of the show?
I don't remember. Death from New York?
Death from Above?
Death from Above, New York City.
Yeah, music people. Yeah, okay. I don't know.
All right, you want to do this?
Oh, do it?
Let's do this because I have something to show you.
Well, we'll do a break and then we'll come right back. Okay, folks, hey, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Leave that in.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back! La, 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 la. Hold on, look, I'm grabbing this first.
Guys, you have to go to the letters.
Where? This is a letter.
Oh, we didn't say it. We just said we're back.
Oh, gosh. Put it back. Back to one. First team.
Cannot even believe that we've been doing this for, fuck, 6 years. Oh, yeah, is that how we do it? I can't even remember.
Let's go to the letters.
Do we name this? Announce it?
No, on the page. Okay. They deserve to know first.
So if you want to know the name of this, you better go to the Patreon. Jerks.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking jerks.
I've made a little note that said we have to show this.
All right.
We've never shown this. We've shown this. Let's go to the letters.
Okay.
Which one do you want to do? No, that one's later.
That's later. Put that back. Me or you?
God, we're banging things today. That's not the way. What are you? The opposite of the Mandalorian?
This is stationary.
That's pretty.
That's artwork.
Stationary.
Why? Because you're not moving it.
Dear Pinniest Pals.
Is it a three-parter?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is a lengthy one. Okay. Just another note. Guys, it's hard to read them this long. I'm going to try to fly through it so we can get it all in.
Okay.
I am writing this letter to give to Roy at a show on November 7th. That would be so annoying. On November 7th at UCB in LA. This is an important note as this is a bit of a time-sensitive question.
Oh shit.
Well, we fucked that up.
Well, or maybe not. Maybe we're coming back around.
Though I know, due to when is what and all that, it may not be read in time, which is also perfectly fine, as I assume this will be in an ongoing sort of issue for me. My birthday is coming up on the 29th of November, the big 3-0 birthday to be exact. Okay. For a while now, I have hated my birthday and avoid even thinking about the subject, if I can manage it, due to a something traumatic experience, quite traumatic experience, okay, that happened to me on that day a few years ago. Feel free to skip or edit this next part of the letter if it is not podcast appropriate, or if you need to give trigger warnings, now would be the time. So, trigger warning.
A trigger warning for something tragic happening. I assume it's going to be a death.
Would anyone else like to guess?
No, I don't want to guess.
Here we go.
I bet it's that.
Okay.
We trigger warned that too for you.
Trigger warning. Yeah. On the night of my birthday, during the already horrid year of 2020, my then-girlfriend and I found and were unable to save a friend of ours who had hung themselves.
Okay.
So, so death, you're right. Yeah. Understandably, I think this has kind of forever marred the date of my birthday and made me not really want to celebrate anything on that particular day moving forward. I have gone and continue to go to therapy and everything in an attempt to move past this trauma, but I'm still haunted by it, making the entire month of November and specifically the date in question a pretty hard time for me mentally and emotionally. My friends have been extraordinarily helpful through all of this, even going so far as to throw me a surprise birthday party 1 year on a completely different date a month prior so we could celebrate without the
dark cloud hanging
without over. That night hanging over us, which was lovely, and I am very thankful to them. However, the actual day of the 29th is still pretty irrevocably my birthday, and I am stuck with it for the rest of my life. So my question is this: how do I take back my birthday and make it my own once again? I want to honor the dead and everything, but at the same time, it is my birthday and I'm the one who has to live with it. I feel if I am ever to reclaim this day, if such a feat is possible, then it has to be on a big landmark year like this, one wherein I leave the land of 20-somethings and move into what may or may not be an era of more serious capital A adulthood. This year feels like my chance for a ridiculous last hurrah of youth and maybe the best opportunity to really feel like my birthday is my own again. Any and all ideas or suggestions you have on this subject would be extremely helpful. Sincerely, your pal, Pat. P.S. I couldn't figure out how to get this to Rory after the show, so I'm mailing it. Here's to hoping you read it soon. You mind if I dive in a little bit here?
Not at all.
Number one, Daniel and I are very different about receiving letters and our interactions after our shows. If you want to bring Daniel a letter, he is more social and more open to that, I believe, after shows.
He does at a merch table.
Yeah, I am more apprehensive. I somewhat hide in the green room after shows. I like to decompress, not all the time, but I like to decompress, and I wait about 10 minutes. And then I usually come out in case anyone is out there who maybe does want to pass off a letter or get a picture or all the things that that happen. So I will say, if you ever bring a letter, there is a chance I may not get it. Sure. But there is a chance you could pass it off to my tour manager or another comic who was on the show, or wait 10 minutes as I may be coming out. In this case, local shows, I'm usually in my car and heading back home, even at my own specific shows at like Elysian or something. So just putting that out there,
good,
just so people know it. I like to state it because I don't like people being like, oh, I thought I would pass this letter off specifically to him. I would just say it can and cannot happen. I get a lot of social anxiety after shows because of what's just happened. And also I think I have a little social anxiety in general. Mm-hmm. I think you're a little bit better about it, which is why I say Daniel is a little bit better to, more likely you're going to pass that letter right to Daniel, and he's going to talk to you and get pictures, and he'll even Venmo you money. He does that. He's a good guy.
Seven
if he doesn't do it, rarely. He's a bad guy.
I like this as a sort of a sad thing, but a positive idea.
There's sad, there's positive, like, there's no way around the sadness, there's no way around an event that occurred on your birthday, I understand it. To sidestep that slightly, I do want you to know from two people who are 43 that being 30 is still 20, and don't change that for yourself.
Some would say yes, 43 is.
You're an adult. So we are 43 years old.
We're idiots.
So be it. Whatever. Whatever that even means. So I would say, yes, 30 is a landmark birthday for sure, in the sense that you have notched off decades of things. But as opposed to saying, in my shortest answer to this very real trauma and very real therapy that has to occur, in your way of perceiving your life and going, well, November 29th is when I have my birthday, and on this particular year, in the year 2023, I turned 30 years old on November 29th, something to honor your friend and the rest of your life is to stop perceiving that November 29th, the date of your birth, is actually any different from any other day
Agreed.
Ever. Take great gratitude and great pride and satisfaction in the fact that you do get a choice every single day with how you're going to live your life, what you're going to do for yourself in a healthy way that'll make you feel a certain way, what energy you're going to surround yourself with, what energy you're going to put out into the world, how you're going to try to affect other people. All of these things are the energies and karmas that you put out in the world that will come back to you. Try to stop. And what I'm telling you is the same thing I know Daniel and I would tell our 30-year-old selves, because we were just like you going into our 30s, as most people are. What a crazy number. It does feel like shit just got real at 30.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. I would say going into it, 3 years now past this tragic event, try to stop seeing your birthday as that one special day, and try to start seeing it as what can every day, how grateful can I be for every day and how I feel and how can I, you know, what can I do? How can I be better every single day? Not that these things are easy. It's a massive undertaking.
Through line in there of supposed to-ism of like, well, it's sort of my last big birthday because after 30, you're not really supposed to do that. Or I feel really sad on my birthday because my friend died on that day. So I'm kind of supposed to be sad about it.
Right. Sure.
And it's like, hey, I get where that logic comes from, and I think that there are times when it also can like be a guide towards sort of how to like contort yourself,
yeah,
or comport yourself. But you should also do what you feel. If you're 37 and want to have a big fucking birthday bash,
yeah,
you don't say to yourself, "But I can't," because you're not supposed to.
Yeah, forget that.
Yes, and then if you go, man, it's my birthday, and I'm 34, and I feel really happy today. Don't go, but I'm not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because my friend died on this day.
Yes.
And the thing is, too, is like, we were recently talking in a page that aired or is about to air about the movie Society of Snow or Alive, the people who resorted to cannibalism to survive in the Andes Mountains, I believe. They told each other, like, hey, when I die, like, eat me. Like,
yeah.
Stay alive.
Yeah.
I don't want you thinking, like, we can't because they wouldn't have wanted it, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that although your friend struggled with their own personal mental health or emotional or whatever issues, it's not for me to figure out what they are or even cast on them, but whatever they were, that I also assume that they loved you. And I don't think they would want you living yeah. under a gray cloud every right. November 29th. Like, I think they'd be like,
yeah.
Well, I feel worse.
But even to your point, like, however, whatever that friend's space that they were in and the choices that they made and a very big one that they made, it doesn't define you. and it doesn't define how you're supposed to feel and what it's supposed to do for you. Yes, it's hard to go, oh yeah, this was the day on that date that this happened and that changed everything. Yes. Yes.
Sure.
And quite frankly, and you know, we hype therapy all the time. It's great.
Yeah, it's great that you're in it.
There isn't something that you can necessarily do about that. It is an event that occurred on that day, and that's just the deal. That is just the deal. You can't do anything about it. Now, is it changed your perception of that day? Quite obviously. That's why you wrote this letter. But you are the one that is in charge of your own perception. You are the one who has to take the reins, do the work, and it sounds like you are, do the work of figuring out, like, I don't think it's necessarily reclaiming a day, because I think it villainizes, and I'm not saying I'm putting this on you, but it, in a story setting, it villainizes your friend as though they stole that day from how it should feel. And I know that you don't want to feel that way either. I don't think you want to portray that onto your friend either.
What they even, that's not even part of the equation.
Sure. I'm just saying,
like, no, I'm saying
it creates that equation. And you go, and I know that's not how you're feeling. So I think I personally, and I don't know jack shit about dick, but I would say try to eliminate in your mind this feeling of what that day is supposed to feel like. Even in terms of nothing having happened tragic. Like, it truly is a day. This was the date that you were born in this space. But we're moving.
How do you want to celebrate that, or how do you want to start the next year of it?
Yeah.
That's kind of all it is. Like, you could say, like, I suppose I could lend myself to the idea of, like, okay, that is a memory of something that happened on your birthday.
Yeah.
So in future, just create a whole bunch of more birthday memories. That will have been one, and you will have a whole bunch more, and it will mean an amalgamation of all of those things to you.
Yes.
But carrying in this bucket their death with you on every one of your birthdays is like, you have to eventually put it down.
Yeah.
If my grandpa found out that on the same day every year, I decided to have a super solemn, no matter what my energy was, just feeling sad because he died when I was super young, and he was supposed to be the best guy I got, and I got robbed of it. If I was doing that decades later, not to go back to the same point, but he would be like, the fuck are you doing?
Sure, yeah, yeah. Because that's what you would do.
What the fuck are you doing?
You would say that. You would pass that
on. Don't do this for this.
Yeah.
Maybe the first one.
Yeah.
Maybe the second.
But I also mean this in terms of in how you feel about it, you know, you can also turn these things into a positive. You know, that can be a day that my friend passed away on this date.
So I want to live
it
up. And
it's my birthday. So actually on that day, I am celebrating two people. It's what you decide to do with it, which is what I mean. You're in charge of your perception. I think, you know, time usually runs its course, and it usually can help with emotions and feeling sad, just naturally. But, you know, I think the best thing to do is to not put this pressure on yourself, to Daniel's point, of how things are supposed to be or how you're supposed to feel about them. I think realistically, the only reason that you even think the date that you are told is November 29th of whatever year is because we have decided to label all of these days with these identifiers so that we can all communicate more accurately what we perceive time to be. Realistically, we're just on a linear, we're just moving in a linear space. And this day today that we're recording and you're listening to this, which is, you know, in your world is a Wednesday. It doesn't mean anything. It's not Wednesday. It's just another fucking day where the sun is up. And the sun is not even up.
Sure.
We rotated and we can just see it. It's not even technically a day. We're just spinning, but we need to define what is the nighttime? What is the daytime? Oh, it's this and it's this. And it's just so that we can all of us can somewhat agree on certain structures of what we believe reality is. And so when you back up that far, and yeah, it's a little too far, but when you back up that far,
you look at it,
you just go, you then land in a place of going, as opposed to trying to figure out how things are supposed to be or what the right and wrong is, you age into a space like 30 years old, and even beyond, you'll realize this, you just start to say the phrase, that's life, and it starts to make sense to you. That's life.
Frank
the fact
Sinatra
that there
song.
Is not an answer, and the fact that it's just sheer chaos all of the time. And the lows get lower, the highs can get higher, but ultimately all of that is based on your own choices and your own perceptions and how what energy you decide to put out into the world. Is it incredibly tragic and sad? Yes. Will you always miss that person and have that and be reminded of it on a day that you're born? Yes. But how you decide to perceive that, there's no advice we can give. And I would say there's probably not a lot a therapist can actually say, this is the correct mental space to get in to make that go away. Doesn't exist. It's up to you to just perceive it differently. But it's not easy at all. But it's up to you. But don't allow yourself to feel something about a day because a calendar, Gregorian,
yes, of course,
has told you what a day is. Right. You know, you're listening to this February 14th. Is that right? Is today Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
The reason we don't know it's Valentine's Day is because we are recording this on January. What is today? January
2022.
Today is January 19th, 2022. Could you imagine? We're that in the can. And he's like, wait, I haven't sent the letter yet.
Yes, you have, dude.
Yes, you have. Because when is what? But we record these episodes and then put them out on a Wednesday. But when Valentine's Day gets here, the reason why some people go, fuck Valentine's Day, it isn't necessarily because maybe they're mad about their relationship that does or doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. It's because fucking the fact that everyone decides that this date that was chosen is the date
today.
It's supposed to be hearts and chocolates and love and romantic stuff. Well, so then what happens on the 15th? We all go back to fucking saying fuck you to each other? Mm-hmm. Or do you think life is a little bit better if we switched it and we said, actually, February 14th is the only day you're supposed to say fuck you.
It's one of my favorite
jokes. The other days you're supposed to love everybody all the fucking time. Yes. And be romantic and sweet and caring and chivalrous.
Right.
Why not look at it that way? So that's maybe a good example of what I'm trying to say. It's just a perception.
I agree.
Anyways, that's
if we ever got rid
of this stationery is dope as fuck.
If we got rid of this weird-ass calendar, you wouldn't even know what you wouldn't know when is what.
Yeah.
And experience every day as it happened. And there might be days you remembered your friend and that was the day you did that. You don't know if it's a Tuesday. Yeah. You don't know if it's the 11th day of the month. You don't even know what month it is.
Yeah.
That was just the day you felt that day.
Honor your friend.
And I hope
that's the best you can do.
Yeah. And I really like what Rory said too about like feeling like they took that from you. Like, and I'm glad you're going to therapy. And for anybody who isn't out there, that sort of mentality can sometimes be part of a grieving process where you would go, well, I got to reclaim it. And be like, that could maybe be interpreted as, are you anger? Do you have anger at your friend that they took it from you? And so that's a really great another reason to go to therapy, to be like, oh, I was just angry. And so I felt this, you know, resentment towards them. That
not
I
to
gotta,
say, and I'm not just saying, be clear, we're that, not saying that is the case.
No.
That just
but
can
it's important
be.
To yeah, like, that's course, another way to evaluate, well, why am I still feeling? What do I think I'm supposed to?
Whatever. Right.
I really liked a lot what you said, Roar. You're a good pen pal.
Thank you so much.
You got it, buddy.
Pat, we wish you well. Your pen pals, Rory Scovel and.
Comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Sue. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Time for the announcements. Everybody, today is Valentine's Day. I'm not going to lie. Daniel, I, and this room didn't really think too much about it until we just read that letter. So happy Valentine's Day, I guess.
Sure.
Daniel and I are anti-corporate, so it was a day invented by Hallmark, so we don't give a fuck, dude.
Right, dude.
Anyways,
I don't know if it allowed you to remind yourself to tell someone you haven't told them that you love them.
Love them. Reach out to someone,
but don't
reach out to a high school, flame and see how they're doing, and if that restraining order still matters.
I love you too.
I didn't like their new stuff.
Yeah, I had a problem with it. Okay.
I do like the hits though.
Mm-hmm.
wait, I feel like a dick because I think you said YouTube, right?
It was YouTube.
I love YouTube. Like, I'm completely impromptu. We're like, okay, turn her mic off. But
why isn't that a greeting card? On the front it says, I love YouTube. And on the inside it says, so what? There's a typo. Nobody's perfect, but I love you anyway.
Yeah. But I love you too anyway. I meant you too. And then it's like, it's never them. Yeah. But I don't have any dates coming up, but my special drops on February 22nd, folks, on Max. So check that out. I think by now we've probably aired a specific trailer many times. RoryScovel.com if you want to buy some of my art. There's a tab in the top right corner that you click it, and it'll say art.
Nice.
And it cannot get any easier.
Here's
than
something
that
I should have been doing for a while.
Okay. Heroin.
Yes. Go to DanielVanKirk.com to see where and when I'm going to be places. In a couple weeks, I'm in D.C. I've got Green Lake, Wisconsin in May. My special, Rose Gold, will drop on April 17th. That we might do something where like I go live on YouTube and hang in the comments with people like as you guys watch it. I don't know at what point because we don't have the final edit yet. How much I sweat in it, but I realized later on that the medication I was on after Lissa having to hear me for weeks
while I was on tour go, I cannot stop sweating on stage.
Yeah.
To a point that is like...
concerning.
Yeah, like, does he think he's going to jail after this show? Like, this is his one last hurrah. So I don't know, because we got great jokes in it. It looks weird, but that's the show we filmed that night, and I'm very proud of it. I hope that you love it. Here's the other thing. I got a brand new website, danielvankirk.com. Same name, new game.
Wow.
Green Ivy Creative made it for me, and we have a new merch shop on there. So if you go to danielvankirk.com, you can get some of my stuff, but then we have our pen pals up on there too.
Get on it.
I know. And Rory and I are so good at this, I have completely forgot to even tell him. So we have a new place where people can go and get that stuff and get it sent out.
Go get that stuff.
I know.
What is it?
The I Wish You Well hoodie.
Is that still available?
It is. It is now.
I actually need to get another one.
Well, you finally can again.
I threw mine into a fire.
You did?
Yeah.
Fucking badass.
It was a dare. It was for dare.
Oh.
You know how they say don't do drugs?
Yeah, dare to keep.
They're like, look at this guy. Don't. And then I threw my hoodie into a fire, and they're like, see?
Cool. DanielVankirk.com. Also, I don't know if it's out yet, but a big thing might have already happened. Like, cool for me. People who like me.
Wine Club on...
Yeah, watch Wine Club. It's Valentine's Day. Watch a little rom-com tonight.
Rom-com, movies.com.
Probably is there.
If my name's not first, I leave.
It's not going to be. I can tell you right now.
Stationery?
Yes. There's an address at the top.
Oh, I love that paper. Center for Dairy Research.
Pals.
I'll take it.
I hope this letter finds you well.
It does.
If all goes according to plan.
Okay, I'm already nervous.
You have 30 seconds. What? If all goes according to plan, I should be handing this letter plus cheese and curds to Daniel tonight in Milwaukee.
Hold on. Did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you have the letter.
I don't know. Sometimes they mail it, as we found out previously.
Did you eat the curds?
They're so fucking good.
Curds are good.
I want to start by thanking you both for the laughter you both have brought me.
Well, you're welcome. We work very hard at it.
I discovered you from Doug Loves Movies and have been a townie since its name changed.
Oh, well,
by the
there
time
it is.
You re- it's pals. It said pals. Sit down.
Yeah, no, but
sit
it's down. Saying sit they're down. Going sit down. You.
By the time you read this, hopefully, I will have taken and passed my cheesemaker license exam.
To become CLE. A cheesemonger, and the name shouldn't be that.
I've
always spoken on behalf of mongers.
I've been eligible to take it since September, but have a tendency to procrastinate. Do either of you struggle with procrastinating, and how do you overcome it? My current life goal is to be in the Master's Mark program by the time I'm 40. It takes 12 months of cheesemaking under a licensed cheesemaker to be eligible to get a license, and 10 years of holding a license to get in the master's program, and I turned 29 this summer, which is weird.
Wow. Like,
you want to do it by your 40, you literally only have months.
So, wait, they turned 29 this year by 40? They have a lot of time.
No, it just said you have to get a license and 10 years of holding that license to get into the program.
Oh. 10 years of holding the license, that's too much.
So,
that's more than medicine.
But it's cheese. It matters way more.
Oh, it does make people feel better.
Remember the cheese?
More often.
We'll talk about this in a second.
God, we will.
Almost derail. And you know what I'm going to... So not procrastinating is imperative to meeting that goal.
Yep.
I look forward to hearing any advice you have on this. Thanks, your Gouda friend. It's in there.
See? Now you know how hard we work at it.
I'm going to do it. Monica... A.
Lewinsky.
Markiniak. That is the most Wisconsin shit right
Monica
there.
Markiniak.
Markiniak. A.K.A. Momo. P.S. I'd be happy to answer any and all questions you have about cheese and cheese making.
I have so many.
P.P.S. LOL. P.P. Sorry, I'm a child. At heart. P.P.P.S. Every time Daniel mentions... the area around his cabin, it makes my heart super happy as my grandparents, Barb and Al, lived one block off the North Shore of Lake Puckaway, which is in the area, until I was in high school. PPPS should have been a fourth, I think. Okay, this is ridiculous. I realized I mentioned Daniel twice, but Rory zero. As a consolation, I included some stickers and temporary tattoos you can share with your daughter. Our mascot's name is Curtis Pipsqueaks. She loves us. She said both many times.
Curtis, C-U-R-D.
Yep.
That's so good.
C-U-R-D-I-S.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Curtis.
Yep. What do you think?
All right. These are pretty cool temporary tattoos.
There is a thing about me, whether it's you or anyone else who does it well, that 12-year-old San Diego kid voice will always make me laugh. I was just like, I don't fucking mind, dude. I don't know why. It just gets me every time.
It's very pleasant.
So I was handed multiple bags of cheese curds.
That's not fucking fair. Where was this show? Milwaukee?
Milwaukee.
I did a show in Milwaukee. No one fucking saw
me.
Now, granted, I did point out recently that I don't come out and receive gifts, but still.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever said like this before, but it feels right.
I'll try it.
This feels really good.
Really?
Oh, guys.
Have you ever skied?
I didn't do it. I did it pre-blowing my knee out. This is pretty good. I still like this in the sauna a lot.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to maintain.
Oh, really?
Well, my feet are slipping. Oh. It does feel good,
I'm way above my mic. I'm probably out of my headspace.
That's okay.
Going out of my headspace over you. Okay, any cheese questions? Any and all cheese.
What is cheese? Where does it come from?
Curds is what they cut off the top, right?
Daniel and I.
Curds and whey.
Curds and whey. Daniel and I, when we went to the cabin, bought this cheddar, like a pub cheddar kind of.
Did we stop at the Mouse House?
What? Fuck you.
I don't remember everything. You know everything. What?
Fuck you.
It's not like I said, did we have Cabin Supremes and play darts?
It's similar to that.
I remember picking you up, and I really don't
and
remember.
And then putting me in the car.
You good? Tuck your head.
Sergeant. Daniel picked me up. We went to the Mouse House, and he bought this cheddar cheese cup, really, with a lid. Yeah. And then later on, I saw him dipping a cracker in it, and I said, let me try that. And it is one of those flavors. It's not good for you. The cheese isn't good for you. Does make you happy, but still. It's one of those things you can't stop doing. You might not even be hungry. Also, it's one of those things that you can't really put out as an hors d'oeuvre. Because
why?
Because then people are like, you have to time it. Because if you're like, hey, put the hors d'oeuvres out, and in 30 minutes we're going to eat. It's like, well, you just fucked up dinner because everyone is going to be so full like
stands around
on crackers and cheese so that good. The moment you put the food out, everyone's going to be like, I can't. Also,
have
all
you
the
had
booze.
A Tombstone pizza since?
No, but I almost did. I tried to get one on our ski trip in Colorado, and I didn't because, one, I knew my wife wouldn't let me, number one. But number two, I thought, I don't have a Tombstone oven. And number three, I thought, if it sucks, it will ruin my memory of So I thought I should just let that live in its own space.
That's fair.
And just be like, I don't eat Tombstone pizzas, but if I'm at the cabin, I eat a Tombstone Supreme pizza.
Did you know that the process to being a cheese master, Mark,
was so ridiculous? It seems wrong. I guess Wisconsin, maybe they play at a different level. Like, what's that? That's like the Yale of cheese. Would you say that?
Best guess that if I didn't tell you I was guessing, I think it's so good, you would think, oh, you must be right. You know, I've done that to you before. You've also done it to me. A lot of cheesing involves aging.
Yes, everyone.
And so maybe the reason you need to hold your license for 10 years is to be able to prove that you can properly age cheese.
I bet that's a good. Whether that's right or wrong, that's a good guess.
Has to be. Not has to be, but.
It is a good guess.
Right?
Yeah.
Because how would they know if you can even do a 7-year sharp cheddar or a 10-year or whatever? Because you've been doing this for a year and a half. You can't be in the master's program.
Yeah.
We have nothing.
Yeah.
There's no proof in your...
There is nothing more fun than when you go to a place that legitimately sells cheese. It's always pricey, a legitimate cheese place. But there's one down the street from me. There's one actually pretty close to you. And there's another one, Just Say Cheese, over by Trader Joe's, off Rowena.
Yep.
When you walk in there... And you're like, I don't really know what I want. They are more than happy and willing and ready to go, try a little slice of that. Like, they'll put a little display together and go, try these. And then they talk you through it. And you just are like, the reason why that's such good business is because every time you taste one, almost always the very first one they give you, your brain just goes, all right, well, Brian, some of that. Like, you don't say it out loud. You go, no, well, I'm going to get some of that.
We want more of that.
And then you go, oh, five more? Your brain goes, oh, I guess we're getting six different cheeses.
Do you have a favorite cracker?
You know, for a while I was doing those Mary's crackers, that brand Mary's.
I'll be honest with you. I only do Toasteds. That's 100%.
Toasteds are good.
That's it.
There's a few crackers that I'm fans of, and then there's some that really drop the ball.
When you do a sandwich...
Can I just say, I've hated Triscuits my whole fucking life.
Hey, what is the...
I don't know. It's like, hey, do you have something that resembles strep throat that I can eat?
Right.
And they go, here, I have a Triscuit.
Right.
Should just be called edible strep throat.
Was shredded wheat not good enough for breakfast that you wanted at snack time?
At least shredded wheat gets the softening of the milk.
This does.
Triscuit is straight up,
right.
Eat this... Right. Pine cone
right.
with cheese on right. it. And you go, well, the cheese is doing all the lifting.
Triscuit is like permanently shitty gingerbread.
Yes. Stale. Like,
it's the stucco.
Where did you get these Triscuits? Someone goes, those aren't Triscuits. That's gingerbread from 5 years ago. We age it.
Right. I'm in the master's
The cheese
program.
Is 5 years old. That Triscuit's 5 years old.
One of these kids. You're doing
You ever have a stale Triscuit?
You mean a Triscuit?
But you know, it's so stale. It's like someone going, hey, try to bite through this cardboard real quick. And you go, well, I can only go this far. And then right. there's no give. Like,
yes.
That's a stale Triscuit.
Hey, here, look.
It doesn't break.
I have this piece of stucco.
And you're like, it tastes like a Triscuit. Right. It was a Triscuit.
It's actually part of the popcorn ceiling.
This is Triscuit.
It's all Triscuits. If you guys want to sponsor, we will take that out.
Honestly, if Triscuits wants to advertise on this show... the strep throat thing was just. I don't even know where that came from.
Indulging yourself a little bit and putting cheese on a sandwich you're really proud of. What is it? Not. Please don't say cheddar or American.
Well, Gouda is probably my favorite.
Really?
Gouda is one of my favorite cheeses.
I love a Havarti.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Or a Gruyere.
Okay.
Gruyere is one of those that doesn't melt very well, right? Like people put Gruyere in a burger and it's never like fully.
Opposite. Yeah. Gruyere is a great,
melty?
It's a great
Gruyere's
melty
a mega
cheese.
Melt,
it's
but
like
I know
a
you
fondue
mean.
Cheese.
Oh, okay.
Like it's great in fondue.
Yeah, yeah.
Halloumi. Halloumi's such a good cheese, but it's so
squeaky
bizarre
cheese.
How it doesn't melt. You can't even understand. Things that don't melt, you can't even understand.
Where are you on blue cheese crumbles?
I hate blue cheese.
Really?
Blue cheese tastes like a basement.
Give me a really good blue cheese burger.
I hate blue cheese.
Do you hate any stinky cheese? Like gorgonzola, blue cheese?
I try...
What about a brie?
I like brie, but brie walks a line. I try a lot
like,
of
you
different
have cheese,
cheeses.
But pretend you're cutting a marshmallow.
Yes, and then get disappointed because it's not one.
Rory, are you a provolone guy?
Mm.
Okay.
If someone is making like a deli sandwich, provolone does seem to like make the most sense because sometimes people make a really good deli sandwich, and then they put cheddar on it that's a little too sharp, and you go, I love it. But you just dominated the flavor with the cheese. That's why provolone is like, I know how to be a team player.
Right.
Provolone's like, I'm not here for the spotlight.
Right.
I'm here to give you a little tingle of cheese. Yeah. You're like, oh, perfect.
Yeah, yeah. A little softening.
But I will say, people that put provolone on a Philly cheesesteak, I think, are Satan worshipers. And they should be dead.
What about Swiss?
Swiss is similar to me in that way.
Of what way?
The like provolone on a sandwich. Like, if someone said, oh, I just made this great, like, lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, mustard, turkey, do you want Swiss or provolone? I would go, I feel the same way about both of them. They're not the same flavor.
No.
But they give me the same, I think they're the same level of flavor. They're not sharp.
I only like Swiss as one of like six components on a sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy Swiss when it's like a main character of any sort of like thing I'm eating.
It's kind of, it feels like a little bit like a mushroom kind of flavor to it, a little bit.
I could see that.
A little, like something like that.
You
but go, Cheese Whiz on a Philly cheesesteak.
You go queso for the table?
Queso's great. But queso's another dangerous one. Sometimes then the food gets dropped and you go, I can't fucking eat another thing. I just ate a gallon of queso.
I never understand. I don't know enough about cheese.
Chorizo queso. Now you're playing a different game. Ooh. Oh,
sure. But sometimes they'll bring you the queso. They all call it fucking queso. I guess that it's just Spanish for cheese. But sometimes, and it's like 3 minutes in, you need a shovel with the chip.
Because that's not legit.
I agree, right?
It's not legit.
It needs to stay runny.
It should stay runny. It should. That's a great question.
What?
They're like, I know how to professionally make cheese. We're like, why do some restaurants not have it stay runny?
But do you remember, we talked about this once, why you can never get really, really good nachos anywhere. Which isn't true, I know. Somebody, well, what about...
But you mean a high percentage of not yet.
The baking, it's like, oh, good, I'm going to rip this off and rip that off. And
do a layer of chips, dress it up, do a layer of chips. It really...
I just want drizzled, runny nacho cheese. I don't want fucking baked...
Nachos really should, in many ways, be a cousin to a seven-layer dip that you eat with your hands. That is what nachos are supposed to be like. Wherever I reach in, it shouldn't be like, well, here's all these chips on the bottom and this topping on top. So grab the chip and try to get some. It's like that. Every chip that you grab, granted, obviously, it's going to be different. But every chip you grab should be dressed kind of. Like when you grab, when you go, oh, this whole section over here has no condiments of any kind. No, there's no topping of any kind over here. You're like, well, then I think you did it wrong. There should be cheese kind of on all the chips. Like it should be a chip and then. Chips and then cheese and then chips. That's what I mean, the layers.
Yes. But even still, the baking element of what it does to the cheese, I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's a good flavor.
It really hardens a lot of it.
I know. Yeah. I just want a drizz.
Yeah.
I just want movie theater.
Cheese whiz,
ballpark,
dude.
Fucking dip it, get
whiz
a
whiz without. That's my Philly cheesesteak right there. Whiz without.
Whiz without.
Whiz without.
All right. Thanks for sending this in, Monica. I don't know how you do it, but either one of us are back in the Wisconsin area. Feel free to bring us any and all cheese.
Or tell us, hey, come to this place and I'll give you a cheese tasting.
Yeah, the Center for Dairy Research.
Yeah, I would gladly go and be.
I just want you to know, the stuff you gave me was good. I took it to Rochelle. A lot of people loved it there as well. The dill curds.
Double up. I like them round and smooth. I don't remember it.
Okay. We wish you well.
That was such a big hit. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Right. Still has six houses on that hit alone.
Easily.
And probably loves cheese.
Cheesily.
We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk.
And Bree Scovel.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more.
Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.